Hi, and welcome to The Chop. My name's Beck. I've been a hairdresser in central Manchester for 10 years, and I've heard and been a part of so many stories, and I really think it's time we shared them. So join me and my industry mates for a bev while we chat shit about some of the crazy stuff we've seen, done, and heard. Hey guys, very much like last week, we are coming to you in the midst of lockdown. We had an absolute bloody scream with our latest guest via video. Andrew Dropbarn has been a firm fixture in the Manchester hairdressing scene for so, so long. He's done red carpet glam and he's also a really well-known brand ambassador. There are so many stories that his NDA contracts can't allow, but we decided to tell a few tales on the ones that he could. Tinnies aplenty, grab a beer and have a drink with us. You'll have a laugh. Enjoy. Andrew Dropbarn.
ATB. In the house with his cheap cider because we're on a budget.
I'm going to kick off. Tell me, how are you in hairdressing?
Well, when I was a little boy, so I started hairdressing locally in Derbyshire when I was, actually I went to college first, hated it, sort of thought, what can I do? Yeah. And then I applied for a little job in Buxton, in the countryside, a little old gay, the only gay in the village in Buxton. So that was me. So I started quite quickly actually. So I was colouring like within 3 months on the floor, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then I was cutting and doing all the rest within about a year. So it was quite a quick start. It sort of came naturally to me.
So you have got an absolute bank of stories to which I was in stitches on the phone the other day when we were going through some of them. I want to kick off with your David Beckham work, please. You're a dead ringer.
The life of David Beckham. I was, not so much now. So I was working in Turning Guy, Sutton Coldfield at the time in Birmingham, and I had this one client and she had like a dance agency. She was like, you look like David Beckham, you look like David Beckham. I was like, whatever. She was like, honest to God, you can earn some money. And I was like, well, I'll do anything for the coin. So had my hair cut, the recent cut that he'd had, and started working as David Beckham lookalike, which was quite fruitful at the time.
I mean, it was when he was obviously like, he was the poster boy, wasn't he?
He was like world's hottest man. And I was like, well, if you want me to pretend to be that, I will. And so that was, I did all sorts really. And then it was just quite, like if Instagram was around then, Jesus, I wouldn't have to work again.
That's so funny. That's brilliant.
Go up to all sorts of walking in around the club, just sort of pointing at you going,
I bet it'd be perfect for pulling that.
I got loads of freebies. I used to like never queue up for anything. Oh, it was just amazing.
Was did really you master his signature as well?
No, so I didn't do signatures and I didn't do talking. So I wasn't a sound alike.
Yeah.
Purely a look alike. So there was a time, and obviously football as well. Like, that's not me.
Yeah.
There was one job I had to go into this morning for, and they had a fake Alex Ferguson. Yeah. Alex Ferguson lookalike and me, and basically at the time, for all the straight boys out there, is when Alex Ferguson kicked a boot and it hit his head and he had like a butterfly stitch on his head, if anyone remembers that. So we had to go into this morning and basically, you know, Denise, the agony she basically sat there and told us to make friends. But I didn't speak because I was like, I'm not speaking. I'm not speaking. Like,
you went on to this morning?
Yeah, as David. For get Alex and David to sort of make friends and be friends again.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
But talking of the football side, I actually nearly got the Pepsi advert, you know, with Beyonce and J-Lo. When he was dressed as a gladiator.
He was
running through like this American football pitch dressed as a gladiator. And the only reason I didn't get it, which is quite ironic, is that I didn't have ball skills. And I was like, bitch, oh, I've got skills. Just not on the pitch.
That's hilarious. How many years ago is that now?
God, I was 21 and then I moved up to Manchester. And started at Deansgate Turning Guy when I was 22 and a half. So basically, when I moved back to Manchester, I was like, I'm going to sack David off and just be me.
Oh my God, I love that. So tell me, what was it like when you first started working at Tony and Guy? Because at that time, like, I mean, a lot, it was the heart of Manchester hairdressing. Like, everyone came out of Tony and Guy.
It was literally all the key people now. So obviously back then there was like Gavin Drain, Peter Zorber, Ruben, Hayley, you know, Charlotte, a few proper sort of big wigs that are still, you know, and doing really well and amazing now, really. So that was sort of the hub of the now cool Manchester.
And was it like was it as cool as it sounds back then?
It really was. I mean, we didn't really sleep that much.
Not surprised.
We were literally sort of falling out the club, but it was where I found my, it was like from boy to man, really. Mm. Sort of found yourself and your style, and everyone was really sort of super stylish back then, and you know, they really had their key looks and who they were and knew who they were within that team.
Around that time, where would you go clubbing? Like, where were the places to go in town?
So One Central, the Village mainly. But when the Village was nice, Village, not like it's now.
Mm. Yeah, Charlotte and Craig always talk about the number one.
Number one, One Central, yeah. That was pretty cool. Yeah. And then there was, the back end, no, there wasn't actually, it's the Paradise Factory Mantos, really.
Mm. Nice. Oh, I wish I was around in those times. I wish I wasn't a small child. I definitely wouldn't have made it to now if I was alive back then. There's no way.
I don't know how we're all still alive, to be fair.
I know. I don't know how that's still possible. So I would also like to talk about the Ruby Wax documentary, please.
So
I love it so much because she told me this the other day and I was crying. I literally ran downstairs to Dougie and I was like, you need to listen to this fucking story.
So obviously Tony and Guy, really cool. I was there. I moved up to Manchester to be the assistant manager of Tony and Guy Essentials, which is like a diffusion line of Tony and Guy at the time. I think it's still going, I'm not sure. But basically it was opposite Restaurant Bar and Grill.
Yeah.
So I was at Dean's Gate for 3 months, so 2 months more than what we thought it was going to be. And it opened, it was all really good. So it was going on and on. And then basically Ruby Wax was doing Ruby Wax meets, and she was meeting Tony Muscolo to talk about, you know, this massive, amazing, cool Tony and Guy. Which
she was everywhere at the time, wasn't she?
She was everywhere.
She was actually doing every single TV programme.
I think it was like my 21st birthday, actually. Anyway, so she invited us over to Restaurant Bar and Grill. Got really pissed, and basically she was talking about Tony Guy and Essentials, and I was like, well, Essentials, you know, it's just the diffusion, it's just diluted from the top, you know, it's like cordial, you just dilute it and it ends up like muddy water. Just absolutely leather talking about this brand that I worked for and like the whole Tony Guy family were watching, and obviously every Tony Guy salon in the whole country was watching this Ruby Wax meet, and there's me spouting off about the brand I work for, and it just been
looked, but they were recording
dirty,
it, right?
Warm water. Yeah, no, it actually made the edit as well. It made the cut. So two managers wanted to sack me on the spot, and then one actually had my back a little bit. So then after that, I was like, yeah, I think it's time to leave. I think I've sort of done all I can within this company.
Oh my God.
Ruby Wax.
Was really crazy. What was she like?
I think obviously now she's a massive mental health advocate, and obviously she's medicated now, as a lot of people are. But at that time she was batshit crazy, yeah.
Because she came across like that always on screen. Like she came across like, she was almost a caricature.
That was her, but she was absolutely brilliant. She was so funny. She was absolutely fantastic. But yeah, got me pissed, and I was just dissing the company that I'd worked for, as you do. HR, everyone.
Thank God we don't have a HR unit. When you were saying about your birthday then, can you tell me the story again of your 23rd birthday?
I love this so much. I was travelling down to Birmingham. It was my 23rd birthday, so I was on the train, you know, fair few drinks, got to the apartment where we were staying, all got ready. So we were meeting friends out. We organised a meeting in the Nightingale Club about 12 o'clock at night. So we went to a few bars. I went to this bar called Missing, which have drag acts and strippers and all the rest of it. And I saw this policeman, and I was like, ooh, there's a stripper for my birthday. So I looked, and my friend just looked at me and went, don't. was like, guess what? And I went over and pinched his bottom. Well, he was a real policeman. He took me outside. He put the cuffs on me, put me into the back of the van, and six officers then proceeded to drive me to the local cop shop to book me in for sexual assault. There's a piece in the MEN, so I was there was like all these hookers and drug addicts, and I'm there in like, can you imagine, gay boy 23 in his birthday outfit, literally in like my little whatever was cool at the time, with my probably mullet back then and my cool hair and my cool outfit in this Birmingham prison. They put me in anyway, they had me in overnight, so all my friends thought that I'd pulled, so they carried on and had a night out. I got back about 7 o'clock in the morning. And they're all leathered, and they're like, where have you been? I was like, I've been in prison, I've been locked up. So they all just thought that, that was quite funny. But then the friend who was in PR at the time was like, that's a really good story. So, and I was like, he said, I can get you a grand for that. I was like, give over. She said, yes. So he sold the story to the Daily Mirror for £1,000, and then I went to live in Ibiza for the summer.
No, did you? How much you got for it?
Yeah, I got a grand, and then the MEN rang me in the morning, like, Andrew, is this true? And I'm like, yeah, can we run it? And I was like, for free. I was like, yeah, of course you can. So there's actually still a piece online. It's like PC, hairdresser to the stars or something, or hairdresser gets pinched for pinching someone's dignity or something.
That's absolutely hilarious.
And then the statement back that they made was, yes, there was a 23-year-old male arrested for this, that, and the other. So anyway, they took my fingerprints as well. So we managed to get it all wiped, thank God. But it was very, very funny. Well, it wasn't funny at the time. I was absolutely crapping myself. Yes, arrested for pinching someone's dignity.
I mean, at least you got a bit of cash out of it as well and had a fantastic summer.
Did a summer in Ibiza.
That's amazing. So tell me a little bit about, so when you messaged me, I don't think we spoke about this on the phone, you know, when you messaged me and you gave me the list of hilarious stories, what's the Lorraine story?
Oh, Jane McDonald. So we did star treatment in the glam van. So basically there was me, Cassie, Lomas Bell, who's a makeup artist, amazing makeup artist, and Lorraine, who's a stylist. We did a makeover show like no other, called Star Treatment, and basically it was Jane McDonald and us three and a chef, and we went up and down the country styling the nation. Well,
no.
It was 15 episodes, which was amazing. And the kind of clients that they got were a certain demographic, and we didn't have that much to work with, but we did make them all look fabulous in the end.
Yeah. Rolling glitter.
That was Jane McDonald. That was hilarious. So she just ripped everything, every outfit that I wore every day, she just ripped me for what I was wearing, but it was all good.
She looks like a right makeover show.
She's exactly what you see.
Really?
Exactly.
She's a Northern lass. That's what happened.
Well, I did a hair and I was like, oh my God, I don't really do big, beefy, backcombed hair. So the first episode, it was massive. It was like Trixie Mattel. And then the second time, I persuaded her to have it straight, and she looked amazing. And then we sort of changed it up every time, because then she trusted me. But she is. She's exactly what you see. She really is. She's proper normal, proper Northern. Lovely.
How did you get into doing TV stuff? Because obviously for people that obviously don't how did you get into doing TV stuff? Because obviously for people that don't know, you do a lot of sort of like red carpet stuff, TV bits. Like, how did you get into doing it?
It started with a local magazine, and I ended up doing Lisa Faulkner for that front cover. And then I used to do makeovers with Manchester TV, what was it? Fashion Face Off, Manchester TV. And then it sort of evolved from there, where you sort of meet sort of the talent or whatever, and you start doing bits and bobs, and then they start requesting you, and then it just gradually evolves from that, really. So then that's sort of red carpet shows, shoots, sort of not necessarily high fashion session work, more sort of more styling and more commercial stuff, but there's loads of different, obviously the shoot shows, red carpet's great, because obviously they trust you impeccably now, and it's like a lot of family when you are there. So I've done a few years ago with Ruben and Craig and Steve as well, so all the team just constantly changes and evolves.
Steve was doing Lucy's, wasn't he, Lucy Fallon's for a bit.
We've all had a piece of the pie with them lot.
So also tell me, who's your favourite? Can you tell me that?
My favourite person to
like
work with?
Your favourite person to work with, or like personality to work on their head?
Tell you who was absolutely amazing, similar to Jay McDonald, but totally not. Melanie Sykes, she is just a dream.
Really?
Because she was a Boddington's girl as well, years back.
Yeah, yeah.
And Alison
did you listen
King,
to the
sh- she was
did you listen
bird.
To I did, Charlotte?
Yeah. Yeah, I saw
we
the video
found it.
As well.
I spent an hour and a half trying to find that. Those clips. Hilarious.
Yeah, yeah.
And then so, the next I mean, Melanie
my
Sykes.
She was adorable, and then all the Corrie girls, to be fair, they're all lovely. And the thing is, when they trust you because you've done it a few times,
yeah.
It just becomes like you're just doing your mates, and we all have a good time. Whether it's be in a hotel suite or a studio, you make them feel really comfortable, and you feel they're themselves as well because they're comfortable with you. Whereas if you've got someone new on set, they can be a bit guarded. Whereas normally, whoever's doing the makeup as well or the stylist, it's like mini little families and just working with your mates, which is brilliant.
Yeah, it's nice. And also, it's one of those things as well, it's exciting if they're doing a red carpet or anything like that. Everyone's in a bit of a
mood. The thing is,
well,
so sometimes we get the train in the morning, we do the hair and makeup, and we get the train back on the same day, and you're literally there just on the Daily Mail or wherever, just looking for your girl that you've done, who's hot and who's not. And I was really lucky for a few years still now, that I sort of allocated people that were nominated, which is brilliant, because obviously you want them to win as well. And, there's been a few times where they've won and you literally your hair and the clothes and the makeup that you just created as a team is on the front cover of everything, which is brilliant.
Yeah, amazing. Can you tell us a little bit about David Hasselhoff, please?
David Hasselhoff, Mitch Buchanan, the legend that is Hoff the Hook. So basically, he was in Peter Pan playing Hoff the Hook a few years ago, and I did a shoot with his girlfriend, who was from the very, very small valleys in Wales. Basically, we made a lot like Marilyn Monroe, and it was really good, and she was chatting away, and I'm quite an opportunist. So I was like, if David needs his haircut, you let me know. And she was like, he does need his haircut. Yes, I'll get him to call you. So I was like, yeah, whatever. Anyways, 2 days later, came back, and I have this voicemail. Hey, Andrew, it's David Hasselhoff. And I was like, get out to the front door. It wasn't even his assistant, it was him. And he basically... because the salon that I worked in at the time was around the corner from the theatre. So basically went round and cut his hair in his dressing room. It was brilliant. And he was really lovely as well. Really nice. But he's like, I was
is
like,
he a
you're
really
an absolute
big bloke?
Legend.
Because I always...
He's quite... He's like 6'5".
I always think of him as massive. 6'5".
Yeah, he's like 6'5". Yeah, he's a big, big man. But just like... Yeah, like sort of big brother, just dead friendly vibe, just really cool. Like not pretentious or, anything like that. He's really lovely and just really put everyone at ease. And just, I was like, oh my God, I've just got a voicemail of David Hasselhoff. You know, when you tried to save it and it only lasted for 7 days. I was like, I couldn't save it.
Have you not got it anymore?
No, didn't save. Bless him. Love a bit of David.
You did a shoot for OK, right? For a wedding that didn't.
Yeah, so there was
plan.
Ever since that wedding, then my vibe of weddings have changed. So she was quite well known at the time, used to do her hair all the time. So did a wedding, but I didn't trial. It was in this beautiful house in, middle of nowhere. Arrived, set her. She had like this Keira Knightley vibe, quite set and then sort of pinned in. Anyway, literally with 10 minutes to go, bear in mind, this is one of my first big OK weddings. And I was like, nervous as hell. Anyway, she just walks back in and she's like, I absolutely hate it. And I was like, what? And I was just finishing off the last bridesmaid and I was like, inside, I was like a swan. My legs were just like, ah. But literally, I just brushed it all out and just pin and placed it. And it was absolutely gorgeous in the end. But my arse fell out. Yes, it did. Like 10 minutes to go. And I was like, oh my God. So now I'll always, always trial at least the bride. Definitely. But she was lovely.
It's so difficult. So many people, honestly. And people just don't want to pay for it, which is frustrating. But you're like, well, you don't want to gamble either.
No, you've got to pay for your time and pay for the prep.
Yeah, totally. Can we have a little quick chat about Barnett?
So I just work a few days a week in another salon around the corner. Another salon in Manchester. So originally I had... I was at Harvey Nichols and I had the opportunity to go and live in Milan. And I was like, ooh, let's go and do that. So, but then I decided, nice. Actually, I'll go and live in Milan and I will just come back 10 days a month and do all my clients in 10 days and do that. So I created the brand Barnett, which was my surname. And basically Barnett means hair, which was sort of the best name ever.
It's such a killer name, you know. It's so good.
Yeah. So that was just me. And then my friend Nancy came and she was my original Barnett girl. So that started
Nancy's
there.
Nancy's been everywhere as well. I love it how everyone knows Nancy.
Yeah, so me and Nancy go way, way back. We go back to like the Burlington days, actually, when she was Katie. So she moved to Harvey Nichols. We changed the name to Nancy, actually. I was like, there was another Katie in the salon at the time, and she was listening to a Nancy Sinatra track, apparently, and she said, I'll be called Nancy.
Oh, nice.
So that was there. So they were great dads. So that was sort of Barnett OGs is what they call it nowadays, the kids, isn't it? Barnett OG. But then it was quite funny in Monk accent as well. I was like, Barnett. I was like, Barnett. I thought, Barnett. So that was great. And then I had a little break. And then we opened a big, lovely salon, five floors, sort of nails, hair, nails, manicures, pedicures, lashes, brows. The nail bar was an actual bar. So we had a cocktail guy as well. So that was great for Bloody Marys in the morning. And there a year. And then that changed, let's say, and we worked that out over 10 months and we left clean and wished them all the best.
Tell us something else scandalous.
Oh god, I had loads of
tell me some goss.
Oh, a really good one. Oh, this is brilliant. I think I told you this one as well. So it wasn't my client, and I can't obviously say where, Harvey Nichols. I can't say where. And basically she was a lady of the night. But she was quite young, and she had a certain client who was a dwarf, basically. And basically, he used to like her to dress up as a certain Disney princess. And he's also got six little mates. also in Harvey Nichols. So she used to get her hair really black and dress up.
That's hilarious.
A lady and basically a guy used to have his wife on account and his mistress on account. And basically there was one time I didn't realise and they were in at the same time, pretty much, you know, highlights. And they were chatting and the wife was saying, I think he's having an affair. And the mistress was like, really? No. And basically the mistress knew who she was. And I just didn't realise that.
So the mistress knew who the wife was, but the wife obviously didn't know about the mistress.
Not at all, no. Yeah, same time, next to each other, both my clients. So highlights, cut. Chatting in the back while sharing a glass of Harvey Nichols champagne.
Fuck! That's true.
Scandal throughout the years, really, whether it was, you know, not Buxton, but the Tony and Guy days, and then a few salons at work, lots of sort of relations going on into sort of staff and with clients as well. I mean, that happens
because you're working on top of each other and you get to know people like
literally
and you get to know people like so close because it's such a like intense working environment.
Yeah, there was one girl years ago, she was married, they were having quite a lot of trouble. Oh, I can't believe I'm saying this one. She had quite a lot of trouble conceiving, and basically she got pregnant by one of the stylists. The husband thought it was his, and then it all came out about a year later.
No!
There wasn't the proper Netflix in it.
That's so Netflix! What's one of the, like, most, like, full-on things? Like, obviously we get told so much as hairdressers. Like, what's one of the most full-on things, like, a couple of the full-on things that people have said to you, like, divulge? Because we are, like, therapists. Like, we get told so much shit.
We do. We get paid to listen, and you know, half the time you're just nodding and smiling because they're just talking it out. But as far as scandals, they just share too much, whether it be sort of sexual activity or you know, they just tell you, and it's like, whoa, TMI. But you're being paid to listen, so you're nodding and you're smiling. You think, you actually told me that time, and the ones that tell you the same thing every time they come back, and you're like, oh, I was like, because they just want to chat. Not a scandalous one, but a really funny one was, I was doing this girl, she came and had a look around the salon and started doing her hair. And the second time she came, she was a bit tipsy. At the time, it was on John Donald Street, so we had the bar. So I got her a few wines, and I'm full head highlights. This is a good one. I'm full head highlights. And she was basically looking down on her phone. I thought she was basically getting something from her phone. She'd fallen asleep.
No.
Asleep and base, but her head was literally in the best position ever. So I got my husband to hold, because you know your highlight, you have to get all the angles in. So yeah, my husband held her head, and basically I did a full. She woke up and she basically had all the foils in, and she'd fallen asleep, absolutely leathered. And she basically sort of had a little sleep, and she woke up and all the foils were in. That was really funny.
I think the best thing that happened was when people started introducing alcohol into salons. My aunt had this fucking awful experience. So she went to, I think it was actually, it's fucking years ago.
Yeah, they had a bar as well. Yeah,
they had a bar, and she got so wankered, right? She was like, yeah, I'll have a fringe. Had a fringe cut in, didn't want a fringe, and she got so pissed. She went to the toilet, she dropped her phone down the toilet. She can't really remember leaving. She can't really remember leaving. Woke up the next day and was like, oh, holy fuck, I don't want this fringe. And was just, she was just like, it was the most rat arse she'd got.
They'd come in, they'd get a complimentary cocktail anyway, and then they'd just crack on. It was like a nightclub on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But it was great in the morning when you could have a bloody secret Bloody Mary. Or a little, just a little just amaretto in the afternoon. Yeah, just to sort of see you through. But there was one time when I was working at James Roberts, and I'd been out quite late. I don't think I'd actually slept. Went in, I was cutting Nancy's hair, actually, in the morning. And I gave her probably the best bob I've ever given her in her life. Nice. And in the afternoon,
I
was like,
bob as well, Nancy.
I was like, babe, your hair's amazing. She was like, yeah, you did it. I couldn't remember.
No!
I couldn't remember. And honestly, some of my clients, if my clients are in on a Saturday, they'll encourage me to go out on the Friday because they get the best hair ever.
Do you find that you overcompensate? I know when I'm hungover at work, I overcompensate because I'm like, I need to concentrate more, and I'm sharper.
There's definitely something in that. And definitely, like I say, clients encourage me to do it. Just
that's
go out
hilarious.
On Friday.
I love your hair, babe.
I was like, oh my God, Nancy, hair's amazing. She went, yeah, you did it this morning. I was like, did I?
That's fucking brilliant.
I was like, oh yeah, well, it looks great. That she'd say that herself. It was the best bob I'd ever done. Ever.
I love that. So tell me, how do you think you are as a client?
I'm an absolute nightmare, me.
Yeah?
Absolute nightmare, yeah. I know, because I know where I want every single hair strand on my head.
Yeah.
See, I am an absolute nightmare. So there's only one or two people that will actually do it now. But yeah. I am a nightmare, and I'd never do it myself. My husband did do it for a short amount of time, but like, it just causes drama. So I'm a nightmare client, unless I've had been out the night before. You can do what you want.
Okay, so let's have a little look. Oh, Emma Willis, Wonderbra audition.
Oh, yes. So when I was working in Tony and Guy, Sutton Coldfield, Emma Willis, who we all know and love now, she had quite long hair and she was a Wonderbra girl, and I cut it off for her final MTV audition and she got the part.
No way, that's
that
amazing.
Was cool.
What was she like?
She was proper, just like she is now, not unaffected. I mean, she looks amazing, but
yeah,
she gave her like quite a short bob at the time. At the time, it was quite long. That's when she was back in Wonderbra, and that was her final audition, and she got it. And I was like, helped run away. Yeah, she's lovely. She's really nice. No dramas there.
Okay, next quickfire story. Ready, Steady, Cook, Ainsley Harriet.
That's after the Beckham days. just at the end of the Beckham days, my friend Nick he was like a sleep specialist randomly.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, I've got to go on Ready, Steady, Cook. I've just done the England team's beds. Obviously, David Beckham was in the squad.
Yeah.
Would you come on with me? And I was like, yeah, of course I will. So I went in. Ainsley was literally all over me like a rash. Bless him. And my friend Nick, who was there, he literally almost cut his finger off. So the whole 20 minutes was just me and Ainsley, really. And then he signed a little apron for me. And which I've still got to this day. But yeah, he made me get like my tattoos out and everything.
That's hilarious. Ainsley, you naughty, naughty man.
He loves a jerk chicken.
Okay. So, next one, cutting it, James Midgley, long blonde wig.
Yeah, cutting it. So, the second series, I knew James anyway, and it was at the time, I had, it was when I first moved back, I still had the long blonde Beckham hair.
Yeah.
And it was really long. And basically, I went out with the wardrobe stylist and him. I basically did some shopping. He wanted my wardrobe and he wanted my hair and he had a wig made.
No. He had a wig made of your hair.
Of my hair for the second, I think it's the second series, yeah.
No.
That was pretty cool. But I was friends with him anyway. He was like, obviously, I want to look like you for the second series. I was like, bitch, get in the queue. So yeah, that was funny. That was good. Yeah, that's my hair, you see. It's got my hair on.